May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And he was a very godly man. At this time, Israel is divided into two kingdoms. There's a northern kingdom, Israel, and a southern kingdom, Judah. But Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, for a long period of his life, was a very godly man too. But he did not end well. In 2 Chronicles 14, it says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and his son Asa became king in his place. The land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. And Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God, for he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars and cut down the ashram, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. And removed all the high places and the incense from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. And he fortified the cities in Judah, and since the land was undisturbed, and there was no one at war with him during those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, for he said to Judah, let us build these cities, and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin. Those are the two tribes of the southern nation of Judah, bearing shields and wielding bows. All of them were valiant warriors. But now Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. He came to Maresha. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in the battle formation in the valley of Zephatha of Maresha. And then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we've come against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our Lord, let no man prevail against you. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. This is in chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God was on Azariah, the son of Obed, a prophet, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you're with him. And in the context, when you trust him, he's with you. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So the story goes on and how God was with him. And then in verse 1 of chapter 16, in the 36th year, now he's been a king for 36 years. In the 36th year, the reign of Asa, and I'll just tell you the story, the king of Israel came against them. And so the king of Israel was in, had a contract or a covenant with the king of Syria that they would protect each other and protect, you know, fight together. And so when Asa saw this king of Israel coming against him with his armies fortified against one of his cities, what Asa did was he got a bunch of gold and goods and he sent it out to the king of Syria and said, this is all yours if you'll break your covenant with Israel and you'll stand with us against them. And so the king of Syria agreed. And he attacked some of the cities of Israel, the northern tribes. And as a result of that, they fell back and withdrew the embargo they had had against Judah. And so the result was, is that Asa won. Israel stopped attacking him. It says in verse 7, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand. In other words, Syria was enemy. They were pagan. And what God's desire for Asa was to destroy them instead of making covenant with them. And so instead of seeking the Lord like he did when the million-man army from Ethiopia was attacking him with also 300 chariots, he relied on his own wit, his own wisdom, and schemed, and they were accomplished stuff, but he didn't do it by relying on God. And he says in verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Luban an immense army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And this is one of the great verses in Scripture. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. I like the way the King James says it. For the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Now, the Scripture doesn't say whose walk is perfect towards him, or whose theology is perfect towards him. Nobody has a perfect walk. Nobody has perfect theology, regardless of how many books they write. A perfect heart, again, in this context, was a heart that will just rely on the Lord, that will live by faith, that will trust in him. He said, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for someone who will trust him. Again, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. The word path straight there in Hebrew is a well-worn path. In other words, God's already got a plan. He's already been there. If you'll just trust him, you'll walk out what he's already wants to do, what he's going to do. This is 36 years. Trusting the Lord for 36 years. Living by faith for 36 years. And he chooses not to. And when he doesn't, the Lord rebukes him. And Asa, it says, was angry with the seer and put him in prison. For he was enraged at him for this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And now the acts of Asa from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the king of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. This is 3 years after he blew it. That's not coincidence he was diseased in his feet. He wasn't walking with God. You can't walk when you're diseased in your feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord. And then it just says they buried him in the tomb he cut out for himself. Scripture says the just shall live by faith. We often make the Christian life so complicated. What God wants us to do is just rely on him. He wants us to trust him. Because he trusted in him when he fought the million-person army from Ethiopia, it says God conquered them. It's his battles, not yours. And he wants us to be utterly dependent on him, to live by faith in each situation, whether it's a small battle or a big one, to rest upon him. And no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, that proposition is still just as real as when the first day you discovered what it means to live by faith. The enemy is going to stay after you the rest of your life to choose to trust the flesh. To choose to trust your own manipulation and own ability and own strength to fight your own battles. You can always tell if you're fighting your own battles because of the anxiety and the fear and the worry that goes inside of your head. But the important thing about Asa is that when he blew it, and we do blow it sometimes, don't we? All he had to do is repent and just start walking again. But because he wouldn't own his stuff, he was diseased in his feet and never walked with the Lord again. Cut out his own tomb. The Christian life is a life of faith. Jesus Christ is the only one who can live the Christian life. Jesus Christ is not just with you, he's in you, that he might fight the battles on your behalf as you just walk through life. You may not know how he's going to win them, what it's going to look like when it's done, but it's his business. It may be a situation that's totally overwhelming. His son, Jehoshaphat, was faced with a similar thing. We had three opposing armies coming against him, and he cried out to God, God, this army that's coming against us is too big for us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, you go face them, but I'll fight the battle for you. And he went and faced them. He showed up for life in faith, and God did this miraculous thing. That's what the Lord does. But it's important that when you don't, when you choose not to understand that's not the end of the road. You simply own your stuff and get up and start walking again. Because if you're too proud to be reminded of what you forgot, you could finish disease with your feet. And let me just say this to you, because I've had diseased feet before. I've made art form of it at times. It's not worth wasting one day, much less the last years of your life. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.